Les colloques du Collège de France.
Okay, so I think we can start. So it's my great pleasure to introduce Eileen Gong from Paris Elite Institute of Technology at Shanghai Jiao Tong University. So Eileen Gong came and prepared a thesis under our supervision in Sorbonne University and in EDF. About last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago?
Around 6 years ago.
6 years ago? Okay. just after COVID. Just before COVID. And now he's developing an important group at Shanghai Jiao Tong University. Recently, I started to collaborate with him, and there is already a group of 5 persons working on the project. So I am very happy that you are here, and you are here for the whole summer. And Eileen will speak about AI-driven complexity reduction with multi-physics digital twins.
Okay, so good afternoon, everyone. And, thank you so much to provide this very, very nice opportunity to share our recent work. So my topic, I think there is, from technical point of view, there is nothing new, but what we have done these years is to assemble all the necessary important technical parts to build a digital reactor. Especially for the online monitoring purpose. This is the framework of today's report. So we will start from the best estimation plus uncertainty. So original information comes from the governing equations and also the sparse observation. So I will also report the mathematical structure in the framework of radius basis method. Then after building this, so we are providing a radius digital twin for supporting the nuclear reactor operation. In my opinion, so there are around 6 kind of complexity. One is the finite information, that means in a nuclear reactor core, the information, the number of sensors are limited. And also the second is the operation also polluted by operation noise, or sometimes because of the vibration of the sensors inside of the core. So we have to also deal with in the framework of radio spaces. The second is that we have to also consider the model bias and the parameter uncertainty. The fourth is nonlinearity of the control equation, and you have also got many information from the previous talker. Then I will introduce what can we do to infer the future safety parameters based on the current measurements. Okay, so the last thing is all the engineering considerations. So I will lift it in the future. Okay. So for example, so we have to have a very good estimate of the field distribution, for example, the power distribution inside a reactor core. Here I show you is the axial offset delta I, so in for nuclear reactor. So it's evaluates the safety standard. So from the operating point of view, the delta I cannot beyond the limit. So this is the operational limit. So it's a high related to the accurately estimation of the power. Another safety parameter is the power peaking factor. So it's so you can see the definition. It evaluates the maximum point inside of the reactor core. So it's a directly related to the safety limit. So if we have a very, very good estimates, so we can release the safety margins, and so that we can improve the economy of the reactor core. So I will give you an example of the control equation. So the first is the neutron transport or neutron diffusion equations. So based on this, the energy is produced by fission reactions. And after that, the heat takes away outside of the core. It's controlled by the thermal hydronics. So here is the control equation. After that, we are able to estimate the safety issues. So what we are concerned is the control equation and the measurement, and also the margin probability. From the control equation point of view, so because the nuclear domain is a very high safety related domain, so to simulate this, we use the certified industry software. Okay. After that, so we combine the measurements, in the framework of radio spaces, which for example, the linear combination of bases selected, for example, by EIM or GIM or general radio spaces. So for the industry software, it provides the high fidelity solution, but it's time consuming. For each simulation, maybe it may cost 1 hour or even more. For the online decision, we have to make this estimation in milliseconds, for example. This is the role of the radius basis. So in the radio spaces, compared with the previous complexity, so I also list six complexity in the framework of radio spaces. So the first is also the finite information, and then the lowest measurements, and the model bias, and the nonlinearity, and the multi-field inference, and also the engineering consideration. So let's go to the part I. So how to use the finite information to recover the physical field, okay? So here is an example of the in-core sensor distribution I show you in the left, in the right-hand side. So the left-hand side is provided by an industry software, for example, in China. So we use the Quokka 3D code to provide the HPR 1000 course power distribution. The dimension is more than 1 million. But for the sensors, it's around 300 sensors. So there is a mismatch. So thanks to the GIM, EIM provided earlier by Yuan, and it's a very smart method. So the GIM turns the sparse measurements into structured information. So here I show you the grading process to select the most interest measurements, and also in the meantime, we can select the radius basis. The core idea is to we always pick set the next sensors where the information is so the field is worst estimated. So we put the sensors there. Oh, this is the original GIM algorithm. Based on the generalized GIM, we cooperate with ODF. So here, Jean-Philippe Agot is so also my advisor. We cooperate and we tested to find the best sensor placements inside the reactor core, and also we are able to optimize the radio spaces and also the sensor placement in the same time. So here I give you an example. The left figure, so we show you that with the dimension increase, And we have a higher accuracy, so this is normal. And also, if you increase the measurements, you also get a higher accuracy, and then it can be stabilized. The very interesting point is that inside a reactor core, we are unable to set the sensors anywhere we want. We are limited because here, so I show you a placement of a reactor core. So they place in grid squares, so we are unable to put the sensors. So based on, so in the framework of radio spaces, so if we are limited to select the sensors, so the accuracy gets worse. Consider the lowest of the lowest of the measurements. So we go to the stabilized GEIM. The core idea is that we found that with the increase of the radius dimension, the maximum error decrease. So based on the article published by Yomada and Oga, so we have an estimate of the error estimates. Here I give you an example. So here is a epsilon m minus 2. So it's much larger than the epsilon m minus 1 and also epsilon n. Okay. So this is a very unregular box. So consider this. We use the constraint minimization problem in the framework of GIM. We find the best coefficient of the radio spaces by solving the constraint minimization problem where I show you. And here, so the coefficient is limited by the error bound of the GIM. So the left, so the right hand side, I show you the comparison before constraints and after constraints. You will find that after constraints, even with the lowest observations, the accuracy is stabilized with the increase of the dimension. Here also we can generalize this constraints to the generalized radio spaces. For example, if we are using the basis from the POD and we use the weight, here is the inverse of the SVD singular value. Here is also an example of the constraints before constraints and after constraints. You'll find the red color one, so it's very stabilized. So from the engineering part of view, this is a very good performance because the engineering, it doesn't necessary to consider how much dimension of the radio spaces we should use. Okay, so you can use, for example, 20 or 40 as you want. It's we are in the framework of stabilized. How to combine it with the artificial intelligence? Because today my topic is about the artificial intelligence the driving. So here is one way to use the artificial intelligence. Here we consider another situation that the measurements also suffer from vibration. Here is the sensors. Okay, so because of the frequent through the core, they maybe the sensors are vibration around the nominal position. Okay, so we consider the S delta R product U is the effect of the vibration, and after that, so we also consider the noise. And in the framework, so we build the cost function, and we use the neural network to solve this kind of constraint minimization problem. This is we also call it the lowest and the vibration tolerance GIM or EIM. So I show you a numerical example that the gray results, so it's the constraint to the EIM. And also the EIM with neural networks is in blue color, and the best one is the red one. It's, we use the EIM neural network and also the constraint coefficient. So you will find that it's a very stable with respect to the the vibration in the left hand and also the noise in the right hand. So it's to conclude in this stage that the advanced radius basis method is applicable for the real industry usage. Okay. So let's consider the model mismatch and the parameter uncertainty. So the equation I show you here is the right hand side is an approximation. The diffusion equation is an approximation of the Newton transport equations. So in this process, so we have the model bias. Okay. Another consideration is that even with the right model, okay, so there is low bias, but you have the parameter uncertainty, okay. So for the model bias, so previous work by Yoma Day, so more than 10 years ago, the parameterized background data weight formulations were now considered. How to use the PBDW in the framework of the Newton diffusion equations to correct the bias with respect to the Newton transport equations. Also, if you are interested, you can also refer the Thomas Otides work also in 2023. Here I show you is what we have done is the parameter distribution because during the operation stage, we are never able to know the material parameter exactly. So it is a distribution. So when we calculate using, when we simulate the reactor core using the industry software, we have to decide the priori distribution of the parameter. So after we have the measurements, so we are able to correct the parameter distribution. Here we use the ensemble Bayes inference. So you can see after the correction, so we are able to match the two parameter distribution. This is the supporting for our next stage when doing the data simulation in the latent space. Okay, so I will introduce the nonlinearity in the framework of radio spaces. Here I show you is a coupling stage between the Newtonic model and the thermal hydraulics model. You will find that the temperature, so the temperature inside of the core generally it, has a time lag with respect to the power distribution because the power distribution is the energy release immediately, but the energy was taken away. It has a time lag with respect to the Newton field. Okay, so this is a high nonlinear multi-physics problem. Okay, here I give you a control equation system. So the first is Newton kinetics, and the next one is the thermal hydraulics, and it's coupled by the power, and also the parameter of the Newton diffusion equations is determined by the temperature. Okay, so this is the coupling framework. From the real reactor, real reactor simulation. So all these equations are ensembled to the industry code. So here I show you an example is the HPR-1000 reactor xenon oscillation. So you will find that. So with the time moving on, so we are able to, based on the industry software, we are able to simulate the physical behavior. Okay. Let's look at the nonlinearity of the coupled equations. Here I show you is the first two coefficients. So with the left side is the geometry material parameter, and the right hand side is here. So it's the time, okay, the parameter. So in the time dimension, okay, and also in the material dimension. I deleted it as A. So you will find that. So it's in higher linearity. Okay, so the parameter dimension is 2. Okay, so that means only 2 variable parameters. Here I show you the results. That's if we use, for example, the autoencoder, we are able to project, or we are able to map the variables in the latent space with a dimension of 2. But for the general POD, so it's a linear expansion. So we have to use, for example, 5 to 6 to reach the same accuracy. So this is the nonlinearity. Okay. So after we project, after we map the parameter, the field in the latent space, we are able to do the assimilation in the latent space. Here is the framework. So the first step is we select a very high dimension radio spaces. After that, we use the autoencoder to compress the dimension to the limit. We are trying to reach the limit, but we are never able to reach the real limit. Okay. So after that, we have a latent space. So in the right-hand side, I show you the data simulation formulation. The first term is from the observation. So where we want to fit with the measurement. And also the second term is the latent parameter, So, okay, so ZB, the latent parameter. So this is the data simulation framework in the latent space. Okay, using this framework, we are able to work in a very low dimension, which is very close to the dimension of the parameter space, the original parameter space. So this can be very very fast when we do this simulation online. Okay. Here I show you a test example based on the real reactor HPR1000. So you will find that. So the left hand side is the blue line. So it's the background. That means we are unable to estimate the parameter. So we have the uncertainty, but we have measurements. After the measurements, after using the measurements to simulate in the latent space, we are able to reach higher accuracy as shown. So I would be glad to report the time consuming. So the forward prediction, so for each time it's in 1 second. So it's much, much lower in than 1 second. And also for the inverse updates, that means we simulate the measurements. So the cost is in 1 second, it's 0.9 seconds. And for high simulation, so for the high fidelity simulation, the time consuming is around 40 seconds, okay? So let's try to predict the future. Here is the general framework if we want to build a prediction model in the latent space. So we have to first to solve the control equations using the industry software, and we build a map from the environment to the latent space. Then from the latent space, we go back to the high fidelity field. Okay, then after you have the high fidelity field, you are able to compute in the safety parameters, okay? Here is a very simple way. So first we do the SVD, we build, use, for example, the GRULSTM method. So we are able to predict the time-dependent model. Okay, so this means we are able to use the previous information of the measurements, then predict the future diffusion, the future behavior of the coefficients of the radius basis. Using this framework, so we evaluate, for example, the power peaking factor as I show. We also compared with many other methods, for example, the linear extrapolation or dynamic model decomposition and many others. So you will find that the prediction in the latent space are most close to the real to the reference. Okay. Another point is that in this framework we are able to predict in a very long time window than the linear extrapolation or use the dynamic model decomposition. So here is the relative error of each method. You will find that. The non-linearity method, so with artificial intelligence and radio species, so it's reach the very stable and very accurate results.
And in the previous one, what is the kind of ping on the right and right on the left? It is the past, the present, and the future.
Yes, we use the past to predict the future. So the top left. So it's the performance of different methods to predict. For example, the x coordinates 10. That means we predict the behavior after 10 hours. Okay, so you have that the red line. So it's very stable with the time window increase. And here?
Yes. This is the future, and on the left it's the
no.
The past.
This is before. Say so. If we want to predict the future 4 hours, so the GRU STM is worse than the dynamic model decomposition.
Okay, the crossing point. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Then after that, so if we want to predict longer, so use the okay. Also, we try to build a very complicated neural networks. That's we are able to use different kind of information because we are now in the framework of multiphysics. So you can use the power distribution, or you can use, for example, if we are able to measure the Zeilon distribution. So in the future, if we have the sensors to measure another field, so we are able to make this field as an input. Okay. So here is the result. That's the red line. The red color is also shows that very stable. Then we move to the GIM framework to predict the future. Okay. So there are four style prediction framework. So we use the GIM or EIM for each channel, each measurement channel, and we predict the future. Then with the measurement, the future measurement, we use the GIM to recover the future field distribution. So it's a special temporal decoupling of GIM. So here is because of the time consuming, so I will very go quickly. And another framework is we use the dynamic model decomposition to predict the future measurements. So here is the roadmap. And after that, we again use the GIM to recover the future field. Okay. Another method is, so we just think about the field is spatial temporal. Okay. So here is the radio spaces. So the radio spaces phi It's a spatial temporal, okay? What's the coefficient is time independent. It's only a parameter dependent. In this framework, we are able to use the previous measurements to predict the parameter. Then after we have the map for the parameter to the coefficients, we are able to reconstruct the future field, okay? So because we have a lot of measurements so in the past time, so we are able to provide the least squares GIM. That means you can use all the measurements you already have to assimilate it, to build like the formulation I show you here, to recover the coefficients, okay? So after that, we are also able to use the measurements from only one field to predict the multi-field. So here I show you is an example. We use the thermal hydraulics, the thermal flux to predict other fields. So we move from single physical forecasting to the multi-physics forecasting, okay, in the framework of GIM. Here I show also the numerical example. This is a benchmark. So you will find that we use four different kinds of prediction method. So the worst is a dynamic model decomposition method, and the best accuracy reached based on the spatial temporal coupling least square GIM. So it we reach the highest accuracy. Also, if we consider the observation noise here, also in we solve the constant optimization problem. So we are able to be stabilized with the increase of the basis. You can also try to estimate other field. Here I show you the result. You only use phi 2 to predict the phi 1 and the power and the temperature. So for the decoupling method, so you will find that for the temperature estimation because of the time lag, so you reach the worst estimation. But for the coupling scheme, so we are able to reach very high accuracy. Here is, you can also change different kind of measurements. So if you observe phi 1 or power distribution or temperature, you can find that all of them reach the very high accuracy. But among all the multi-physics field, we are able to select the most informatical field, okay? Here is the test example based on the real reactor core, also HPR-1000 Zeylon oscillation. The results are listed here. So for the decoupling scheme, so the results is not good, but for the coupling and the least squares scheme, the bottom right figures show you that it's reached the best accuracy with respect to the other three methods. And here you can also find the time, the computing time. It's all of this method is below 1 second. So it's very familiar, popular for the online use. Okay. So this is all what we are talking about, so except the six parts. So we have the measurements, we have the model, and we construct the radio spaces, use the traditional radio spaces method, or use the artificial intelligence. And we estimate, we diminish the uncertainty of in the parameter space. And also we use the measurements to correct the estimation, to improve the estimation in the latent space. Then we are able to have a higher estimation in the future for the safety-related parameters. Okay, so this is all what I want to show you today. So thank you so much.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr. les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.